Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists, ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 531.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so thrilled to be bringing you a new conversation with a dear colleague, someone whose work I've admired for so long, and recently replayed our first conversation here, Zabi Yamasaki. This week in my new conversation with Zabi, you will hear about her new book, Protect Your Energy. And as always, a conversation with Zabi is about connecting to your most authentic and joyful self to live your best life. And she's talking about very meaningful ways to do that. As always, using somatics and embodiment as the foundation of her work and a trauma focus, of course. So I'm very excited to share that with you. I also wanted to let you know that if you are on my email list, please check your inbox, because I sent an email this weekend where I was coming out of hiding, telling you a lot about what I've been up to lately that I don't typically share here, and new ways that we can work together. You've heard me talk about the retreat in Tulum in November 2026. I've added a retreat in North Carolina in October with two dear colleagues. And I'm also going to be speaking at the Smoky Mountain Symposium on Relational Trauma in October. You can get up to 23 APA, ASWB, and NCC CEs for that. Not my talk, but the whole event. I'm going to be talking about institutional betrayal, systemic ways that survivors are betrayed in experiences of sexual violence. And I'm also heading out to a personal writing retreat this week. I'm going to really dig into the book that I've been telling you that I'm writing, and I haven't been able to really give it the focused attention that it deserves. But that's happening. I'm doing that this week. So another thing is that in 2027, in February, there will be a new trauma mentorship that I'll be facilitating. So if you have been listening to Therapy Chat for a long time, you're a clinician, and you don't feel strong in trauma, you want to really get the foundational knowledge, come with me to this 9-month-long mentorship program. It's going to be limited to 24 people, and we'll meet live once a month. So you can get all the details about that in the email If you're not on my email list, why don't you go ahead and subscribe? There's a link in the show notes. And I'll be talking more about all of these events. I've got international retreats in Portugal and Spain. And I've just got so much stuff I'm cooking up. I'm really excited to share it with you. So, but for now, let's get into my conversation with the wonderful Zabi Yamasaki. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan. And today I'm so happy to be back together with Zabi Yamasaki. Zabi, thank you so much for coming back to Therapy Chat today.
Oh, thank you, Laura, for having me. It's such an honor to be with you and your guests.
Thank you. Your energy feels so good. Just talking to you always is, it just feels so soothing. And I was telling you before we started recording, I carry that with me a lot, thinking about that gentle way that you approach your work reminds me to be more gentle with myself. And I really value that. So I can't wait to, I can't wait to talk about your new book, because that's what it's all about, protecting your energy. So your book is called Protect Your Energy, A Gentle Guide to Nurture Your Nervous System, Cultivate Rest, and Honor Your Needs. And I'm super thrilled about it. It's out now. So we're going to talk about that. But before we get into it, will you just tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
It's so nice to have the opportunity to connect with you all today. My name is Zabi Yamasaki, and my pronouns are she and her. I am the founder of an organization called Transcending Trauma Through Yoga, which is an organization with the mission of empowering survivors to heal through the practice of trauma-informed yoga. In my consulting work, I support about 50 different college campuses and trauma agencies and helping them integrate trauma-informed yoga into the scope of their services to be more holistic in nature. And I am so passionate about leading trauma-informed yoga certification trainings that are open to all healing professionals, both in person and online. And I am the author of several publications. My first book was Trauma-Informed Yoga for Survivors of Sexual Assault, Practices for Healing and Teaching with Compassion. And I'm so excited to share my new book, Protect Your Energy, with all of you.
I'm so happy that you have written a book that maybe people who don't have a history of sexual trauma or don't identify as having trauma at all will find and be able to benefit from your beautiful, really gentle and sensitive approach to living as a human being. You know what I mean?
Oh, thank you for saying that. It's taken a long time to get, you know, I think that part of me has always been there, but, you know, I got really hardened for a while, and I had to kind of refine my softness, because I think for so many years, I got really used to pushing and pushing and pushing myself beyond my limits. I think, you know, I convinced myself that that was what was required of me to be of service or to be of value or to be enough. And what I had to learn how to do was to be soft, was to be gentle. And that feels so tender for me now, because I think anyone who knows me or knows my work in the world knows that softness is really at the cornerstone of everything that I do.
I relate so much to what you're saying, because like you, I started out in the field of anti-sexual violence work. And in a way, I remember, I don't know if we talked about this last time you were on, but I remember I had a sense of like, this is hard work and it takes a lot of strength to be able to do it, because certainly not everyone wants to do that kind of work. Most people hear sexual trauma, they want to go the other way. And you're going toward, just like, you know, a first responder or anybody who's doing activism work, you're doing it, you're driven by kind of a passion, and also it's like this inner drive that can feel, I feel that there can be a sense of urgency because one, you're working with a lot of traumatic material and it brings that sense of urgency.
Yes.
Inside.
Yes.
But also, you know, you see the pain that people are experiencing and the injustice, and it feels so important and urgent. And, you know, so I feel the same thing happened with me, that I started out kind of like sort of happy-go-lucky, you know, duh, like clueless kind of person when I stumbled into that work. And then when I started learning, I was like, whoa, this is huge. This is really a big deal. I need to, wow, this is going to take a lot of me, you know? And
yes, exactly that.
And then it becomes like, you're mad because it's wrong what's happening, and it's so wrong. And you're like, this is outrageous.
Yes.
I remember I had a t-shirt that said, where's the outrage?
Yes.
It was a PCAR t-shirt.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes so much sense why, and you know, a lot of survivors do end up going into the anti-sexual violence movement.
Yes.
Because you know that their passion oftentimes comes from their own wounds. And then they're in these organizations that are often not trauma-informed. And, you know, there's this parallel process that plays out where they end up being re-traumatized in what is oftentimes a really toxic organization, or is underfunded, or they're so angry and they want to do more and they just are not resourced in all that they deserve, you know? And so I hear everything that you're saying about, like when you say the words, wow, this is going to take a lot out of me. You know, I don't think I've met one survivor advocate or person who works in this movement who hasn't given their whole mind, body, soul, spirit to this work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, None of us come out unscathed.
That's right. No. And I mean, it does change you, and it changes the way you see the world when you realize the things that people do to each other. And I think, you know, I can relate to that in terms of being hardened in a way through activism work. And I see now, you know, for me, that was my early 30s, and now I'm in my 50s. I see people, activists and advocates, whether it's the sexual trauma world, whether it's in other social justice movements, people feeling really, there's like a bitterness that you see in a lot of people, and the burnout that so many people are experiencing because they feel like they've been giving everything and things aren't changing. So I feel like this book, I mean, I'm talking about activists and advocates when I say that, but it, as I told you before, I was just walking with my friend who is a young mom and also works full time. And I talk to a lot of women. I know you're a mom of young kids too. I talk to a lot of women who are working in really hard, like hard driving, high achieving kinds of jobs, and, you know, are also parenting and being partners and being a human and being a friend. And yeah, it just feels like
always holding the default nervous system in the room.
Yes. Ooh, please say more about that.
I mean, I bring it up as you say those words because I just don't think we talk nearly enough about the incredible toll it takes to always hold the default nervous system in the room. And what I mean when I say that is the pressure to always be reinforced or regulated or resilient in order to show up and hold space for others. We are often the emotional regulator in the space. And so people are oftentimes borrowing from our nervous system to support their own. And this is a challenge any way you slice it, whether it be in activism, in your profession, in caregiving, in parenting. I mean, I don't think people really are craving to feel seen without over-explaining. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, we were just talking about this. That's
yeah.
when I'm so burnt out or I'm so far beyond my threshold and capacity, even the thought of trying to explain to my partner or to explain to a beloved, well, let me explain to you what this season looks like. You know, I'm already so tired from living it. I think sometimes we feel that need to justify our exhaustion. You know what I'm saying?
I can't agree with you more. When someone understands without the explaining, it's like, I went and got a massage on Sunday. And as I started the massage, I told the massage therapist that I have fibromyalgia. And she said, I get it. I have MS. And I was just like, oh, just like, I don't have to tell you what that means and what that means about my body and what I feel, even though, you know, I can still tell you today where I'm hurting. Like, I don't have to convince you that I'm talking about something that's real. And I feel like in the trauma space, it feels like that too. It's like you're trying to get people to believe, this is my personal thing, but it also could relate to myself as a child, like trying to get someone to see in my family, hey, we got a problem here. Something's happened. We need something, you know. But with the trauma work, it's like, no, trauma is a real problem. No, there's a lot of trauma that impacts us. Here's how it impacts us. And, you know, everyone's like, no, I don't, not me. I don't think so.
Oh my gosh. Well, it kind of is this idea, right, that feeling seen facilitates rest. So that moment when you were with your massage therapist and that you realized in that single exchange that they got it, you don't even have to go into the intricacies. I know what this means. And I'm informed about how to work with you in this way. And that is the most validating response that you could hear from anyone.
Yes.
I mean, we all struggle to rest. And so knowing that somebody sees us in all of our wholeness with all of our identities, I really just think that it's so powerful. We all need more moments like that.
We really do. Ooh. So let me give you a chance to tell our listeners really a little bit more about why you created this book and what it's really for.
Oh, gosh, it's such a big question, you know, and there's so much in this book and there's so many layers. But what I would say is that this book really invites us to be in an intimate relationship with our own capacity and to really know and believe with every fiber of our being that we can no longer prioritize ourselves, our well-being, or our health last anymore. You know, protect your energy in the way that I write it. It's not just some flowery suggestion. It is a way of being. It is a way of life. It is protection. It is, you know, how we move through in a world like this. You know, and I have been thinking a lot about the various things that drain our energy. You know, in the book, I talk about the different dimensions of energy, our energy drains, the types of rest our nervous system craves. And it's been said that in a single morning, we absorb more news and images and information than our ancestors did in their entire lives. And so we have to be so cognizant.
That feels so true.
Right? I know. I was like, let me give Laura a moment.
Yeah.
That in.
I know. I'm like, wait a second.
Right? It is. It's just so much that even in a single morning, we open our phone and instead of checking in with ourselves, we've checked in the world. We've checked in with the world and we've taken all of that in before we've even fully, you know, waken up or
put our feet on the floor,
felt the sun on our face. Just our nervous systems are not designed to absorb at the pace that we are absorbing. And so Yes, this book is really about reminding us that, you know, nervous system health is such a foundational practice for these times. And really, you know, an intersection of all of my work in the anti-sexual violence movement, in, you know, working in organizations that were not good for my nervous system, and going through my own experiences of trauma, motherhood, just all of these various intersections of my own identity, and trying to create this pathway for us that's not about spiritual bypassing, you know, because I think sometimes people see it, oh, protect your energy. No, this is factoring in our activism, our commitment to social justice, and not just saying, oh, we just need to take better care of ourselves. It is really about this kind of having this worldview and still knowing that tending to our own nervous systems with so much care is one of the most powerful tools we can model and mirror for all those that we hold space for. And I think that we forget that. I think we forget that oppressive systems want us burnt out because that gives them more control. And so, yeah.
Pause.
I know I'm saying a lot.
Oppressive systems want us burnt out because it gives them more control. Just let's all let that sink in, because I love that you said this is not bypassing, because there's so much shaming that goes on in the social media space of what everyone else is doing and how they're doing it and who's not posting about what, and what people should be talking about, and if they're not, what it means about them. And yet, I see these very earnest, sincere, dedicated, passionate, young activists burning out, burning each other out because of the shaming and blaming of what, who's not doing enough of what. And that's what we call lateral violence, right? Horizontal violence. It's like we're turning, it's like the crabs in the pot turning against each other instead of helping each other get out of the pot.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, we are beings. We are living beings with bodies that do have limits on our capacity. It's not bypassing to protect that. I think it's resistance.
It absolutely is.
Right?
Yes. Just like our joy is resistance, you know, I want my children to know that multiple truths can exist at the same time. You know, I want my kids to see me resting in the middle of the day on a random Wednesday. You know, I think as a daughter of
resting when you're tired, not when the system says you can rest.
Yes. Yes. You are worthy of resting before you are exhausted. You know, I think I used to think about rest as something that I did after I did all of the things, as opposed to looking at it as a form of preventative self-care and really looking at, you know, what does my week look like? Oh, wow, I'm doing multiple trainings. I have to take my kids to all these things. Oh, I need to show up for that. I'll have that meeting. You know, being able to portion our time and know, wow, this season is going to require a lot of me. So that means I have to be really intentional with the way that I prioritize myself, that I'm no longer putting myself as an afterthought. I lived that way for so long, and I ended up in the emergency room with rolling panic attacks, you know, and it was like my body telling me, no more. You cannot continue down this path. Something had to change.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Can you just say what, for those who are listening, if they're not familiar with that idea of rolling panic attacks, what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think panic attacks can look a little bit different for each person. And for me in that season, it just felt like I could not get a hold of my breath. The panic attack, you know, once I thought, okay, maybe I'm settled, or maybe my nervous system is getting back to a baseline that feels a little bit more grounded. And then I couldn't breathe again. You know, it was
just, yeah,
constant rolling. And it's so scary when you experience it for the first time, when your body has lived in this sort of prolonged state of hypervigilance and you have a difficult time discerning the difference between safety and danger, and everything feels like a threat, and you live in that way for so long, of course it can complicate your relationship with rest, and survival mode becomes your baseline. And then at some point, the body is communicating, you know, and you'll never, I know you know this about me, Laura, you'll never hear me referring to our survival responses with stigma or shame. You know, we're all worthy of honoring the ways that our body has supported our survival. And we do kind of get to a point in our healing journey where we can be a little bit more loving and intentional with those survival responses and work with them in new ways. So yeah, so much to say and unpack, but that really what ultimately led to kind of the protect your energy journey. It kind of reminds me, I think anyone who's done trauma work or experienced vicarious trauma or burnout, do you remember trauma stewardship? That was like the alternative.
Yes.
Right? It was the only book out there at this time early in my career. I mean, I've been doing this work for 15 years now, and no one was talking about the nervous system at that time in my career. I mean, the language that I have now for my own body that I integrate into my trainings that I write about in the book, this did not exist. You know, so I was operating at a level that I had no awareness or psychoeducation as to what was happening. So I just kept pushing. You know, when I would work in universities, I wouldn't even use the restroom when I needed to use the restroom, you know, like not even tending to my basic needs. I would just scarf some cashews at my desk and not even step outside to see the sun. I mean, it was not normal to function in that way, but no one was talking about it in the way that we are now.
Therapy Notes is consistently transforming the way therapists manage their practices with continuous updates designed to save money and improve efficiency. Their latest game changer, Therapy Fuel, a powerful and fully integrated suite of AI tools that streamline documentation so you can focus more on your clients. With AI features that help by generating progress notes from summaries or transcriptions, creating contact notes directly from clients' secure messages, and automated summaries of client history forms, Therapy Notes users are already reporting hours of saved time and energy. Some other recent feature improvements include automated recurring client payments, electronic secondary insurance billing, and their constantly expanding library of outcome measures. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists, ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapist page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Yeah, and let's just remember that the early concept of self-care and burnout prevention, aside from trauma stewardship, which had a different flavor, but in general, the talk was pretty much like, you've put yourself into a really bad situation here, you know, like you didn't protect your energy enough. And it was like, how?
There was no systems discussion. You know, it was Black feminists that brought that framework. Audre Lorde, you know, caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. Yes. And that is an act of political warfare. Just the same way, you know, it was Black and brown feminists who are responsible for the trauma-informed movement. They were the ones on the front lines in the anti-sexual violence movement, in, you know, early rape crisis center, domestic violence movements, doing that direct service work with survivors to center their, unique and culturally affirming needs. And now the framework's being, you know, applied very widely across healing and mental health and medical settings, but it's always been Black women who were at the forefront of this work. And now it's been so westernized and commodified that people, you know, we convince people that self-care is something that they need to buy more things or they need to be doing more.
That's right.
Our nervous system needs less.
That's right. And yeah, the nervous system practices and the ways that we come back to ourselves and reconnect with the animal of our body, you know, I like the Mary Oliver poem, you know, that let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. That thinking about that, like if I'm really being loving toward myself, I'm like, well, what does the soft animal in my body want here? You know, if I can remember I'm an animal.
I love that vision.
But that those concepts and that permission to even like rewild ourselves, those are indigenous concepts that have never changed. And it's deconstructing the Western ideas of what healing means and what it looks like. And
absolutely.
I would say too, like rejecting the commodification aspect, you know, like, sure, there are things that you could do for tending to yourself that cost money. There are things you can do. You can spend money, but the real practice is more, it's free and it's already right here.
Yes. And it exists within you.
Yeah. But it's not easy to allow ourselves to rest, you know? I mean, I was saying this to you before we started recording too. I feel that there's like this frantic energy in our collective. And it's hard not to, you know, like you mentioned being the default nervous system in the room. I sometimes feel like no one's asking me to, but my system is just absorbing everything that's happening around. And I'm like, is this even mine? A lot of times it doesn't feel like it is, but I'm still feeling it and internally reacting to it. So then when I'm trying to slow down and trying to rest, there's this other script running that's going, you're supposed to be doing something right now. You're supposed to be doing something productive.
Yeah.
As if resting isn't productive.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God. I mean, you're speaking to so many layers that are involved with being the default, which make it very difficult to rest even when you do have time to rest, right? Because even if you do delegate or you do try to lighten the load or you do try to let some balls drop, your brain and body haven't fully released it because you're like, can I trust that that person's actually going to do the thing? You know, we're constantly tracking and, you know, there's these inquiries in the book around, are you observing or are you absorbing? Are you or are you caring? And so you tend to be someone who carries and absorbs, especially for those of you who might have highly sensitive nervous systems and are deep feelers or empaths, which I imagine many of your listeners are or have some elements of that in some capacity, that for us, this work is even more important and it can be even more challenging to lean into some of the concepts, right? Now, there's this element in my book around this repetitive nature of some of the messages, almost like a moving meditation in some ways, that the thread is kind of integrated throughout the book and throughout each chapter. Because, you know, I kind of think about the aspect of, I know you know this, Laura, that repetition, predictability, routine, ritual, all of these things support us when we're struggling with a dysregulated nervous system. So the way that you might reach for that same mug every morning to drink your coffee, mm-hmm. or that same cozy sweater that maybe has a million holes in it, but you just love it so much, it's your comfort. listening to the same playlist when you drive to work each morning. There's something about those elements of control and safety and predictability. All of these things really support us when we're struggling with a dysregulated nervous system. And so I really wanted to take that knowing into my writing process as I wrote this book. And so I think those of you who do decide to pick it up, you'll feel this element of mindfulness and repetitiveness. And that's intentional because we oftentimes need to hear these messages multiple times to really embody them, to allow them to sink in. And you know, I wanted this book more than anything to feel like a place people could come to for relief. Because there's enough books out there that, you know, explain the nervous system, talk about trauma responses, give us all the psychoeducation. And then sometimes we end up feeling a little bit re-traumatized because we're reading about all these things we're experiencing as opposed to reading something that genuinely feels like a soft place to land.
Oh, I am so thrilled for you and for all of us that this new beautiful resource exists.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for just all the ways you've supported my work over the years too. You're just such an incredible person and really have this ability to help people feel seen in what they do. And I'm really, really appreciative to you and all that you do and hold.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel so grateful to be able to spend time with people like you and all the wonderful guests that we have on the show who care about doing something for the benefit of the world rather than trying to take just to be simple about what it is. But I just want to name something really fast before we wrap up. You mentioned joy as resistance, and I kind of need you to say something about your children's book too.
Yes, of course. Oh my gosh. So my children's book is called Your Joy is Beautiful. And Laura's always really good at reminding me of that too. She's always commenting, Your joy is beautiful, which is so, you know, so tender and so sweet. And I really, you know, a good friend of mine recently, she goes, Zavi, you really practice what you preach. And it was honestly one of the most loving compliments I think I could ever receive, because I never want to feel like I'm out there preaching certain messages and not actually embodying them or living them. Because I think many of us have experienced that, right? Where we're out there telling people to take better care of themselves, and meanwhile, we're running ourselves ragged. And so
with the best intentions,
exactly. Not to vilify or anything. It's just the reality of living in this world. And so joy is something, you know, there's this beautiful quote by Kimani Fambro, and she says, my joy is never a coincidence. I do the work. And it is such a reminder to me that joy is something we have to steward and something that we have to be so intentional about. We have to call it in. It is a practice, because there are so many things that are going to try to steal our joy on a daily basis, or try to squash our spirit, or try to make us believe that we're not deserving of that joy or those glimmers or those pockets of sun and light. But all of us are worthy of that. In fact, that's what gives us the energy and capacity to continue to show up in the ways that this life requires, in our activism, in our work, in the causes that we're passionate about. I really take my joy so seriously. It is something that is at the top of my list, along with my family and, you know, my children, my health. I mean, it is something that we all prioritize as a family unit. And so, yeah, joy is absolutely resistance.
Yes. And I just want to say, I think when you created that book, you had just your first child,
And I don't know why this is very moving to me, but, you know, the message of the book is about like holding on to who you are and don't let the world, try not to let the world like beat you down. And I just wanted to say that, like, your children's joy is beautiful. All children's joy is beautiful, but all of us are the children too. We're still beautiful. Like, we're not, it's not, sometimes it's like, how can, you know, there's war. How can you kill children? It's like, no one should be killed in war. You know, we're all like, we're all deserving of love and to live and be safe and to feel joy. So
it's our birthright.
If you're, it's our birthright. Exactly. And so you and I and so many others of us are trying to counter the negative aspects of what's happening in our culture right now. And it's meaningful. So that's one reason why I was really looking forward to talking with you, is just that I know that you bring your open heart and, you know, don't hide it under professionalism and formality. And obviously you're very professional and formal and just right as you are. And the joyfulness is felt. So it's such a valuable contribution to the world that you share how you are with all of us. And thank you for sharing some of it here.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura. Now I'm going to hear you.
I don't know. I'm just feeling all the feels right now.
You know what? As we do, this is just par for the course with us. I think we just, there's a vulnerability that I think is able to be present in this space. And, you know, I think about how powerful it is to model all of this for children. You know, the joy,
exactly,
the rest, the releasing urgency. I mean, if you think about it, children are oftentimes navigating fight or flight just in the way that they're always rushing. You know, it's like out the door, aftercare, sports, yeah, eating in the car. You know, I just.
We're going here. We're going there. We're going here. We're going there. And they're just like,
yeah, hurry up. Let's go. We're late. You know, and it's no wonder that as adults, we struggle with perfectionism and rest and anxiety once it lives
exactly
in so much of us, that urgency culture. And, you know, I have to actively, you know, I think all of us can relate to saying things like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom real quick. I'm going to run this errand real quick. I'm going to do this workout real quick. You know, we're so programmed for real quick. So my practice lately has been saying, I'm going to go to the store real slow. You know, I'll tell my husband, I'm going to Trader Joe's real slow. So do not expect me back anytime soon. I just don't want to rush today, you know, because we rush even when we don't have to rush, because that's our default. And so it takes all of us to collectively normalize, you know, that the way that we are living, the pace is not sustainable. It's not normal.
Yes.
And we can choose differently.
Exactly. It's not inevitable. We can choose differently. So I'm going to take the lessons of your book to heart and seriously, especially now because of this fibromyalgia diagnosis. It's like, you know, my body said no more. And I it's been saying it for a long time, but I didn't have the official diagnosis. So now that I do, it is that adjustment to, okay, follow the body, not try to override the body, follow the body, honor the body. And this body is me. I'm in this body. This is the suit for me from now till the end, till next time, you know?
I mean, that what you said is so powerful, though, Laura, around this idea that not overriding the cues of your nervous system, instead leaning in and honor what it's communicating, because we've gotten so used to the overriding. And
exactly.
Just like what we were talking about the basic needs, tending to ourselves in that way in really loving ways. And the body is constantly communicating to us in very visceral ways, and we're all worthy of responding in ways that feel kind and compassionate.
We are all worthy of that.
Yes.
So Zabi, will you please tell everyone who's listening where they can find not only your book, but getting in touch with you for consultation or trainings or your other books, all the amazing stuff you do.
Thank you, Laura. Well, yes, I would love to connect with you all. My website is zabiyamasaki.com, and I'm on Instagram at Transcending Trauma with Yoga. And you can find all the books, the trainings, the consultations on there. And I would just love to connect with you. Thank you for having me, Laura. It's always such a joy.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your willingness and your openness to being here and just for everything you do. It's a joy for me. And I look forward to the next time.
Thank you so much.
Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.